So are you frustrated? Do you enjoy waiting for things? I have one thing to share with you today. There's a gift in waiting. Do you believe that? How do you feel about waiting in line? Whether it means six people in line in front of me at the bank, a dozen people in line of me in line at the grocery store, or hundreds of people, worst of all, ahead of me in customs in the airport. I'll be the first to admit that waiting in line brings out a side of me that nobody likes. It's not exactly pretty, but I'm guessing that I'm not alone. And that's because it turns out our negative perceptions of waiting go well beyond how long the wait is. First of all, you know you're in trouble when you go somewhere like the doctor's office, and what is there there? There's a waiting room. They don't call it the ready-to-see-you room. It's the waiting room. So you better have a book, a cell phone, Sudoku, something, because you're likely to be waiting for a while. Then they move you to a smaller room with nobody in it, and you wait some more. What people hate most about lines likely isn't the length of the wait at all. How you feel when you wait in line is often more important than the duration of the wait itself. But hey, here we are, 3 days from Christmas. We've waited a long time for this day to come. Why is that waiting different? You don't have to be a kid to find joy in the wait. Think back to your childhood, or maybe look at the children in your life now. The joy of Christmas is so much more in anticipation, the fullness of what's coming. Children can spend weeks wishing, hoping, anticipating what they might receive for Christmas. It is the hope and anticipation of receiving good gifts that bring joy. So what's the difference between these kinds of waiting? We have two choices. I really want you to take this home with you today. We have two choices in when it comes to waiting. We can wait in frustration about what hasn't happened, or we can wait in anticipation of what God's going to do. So welcome to the fourth message in our series, God With Us. We often hear people talk about getting into the Christmas spirit. The context of that is something we must do. We got to decorate the house. We got to bake cookies. We got to buy gifts. We got to cook a meal, etc., etc., etc. Have you ever thought what the true spirit of Christmas is? Is it worship? Is it the family time? Is it giving rather than receiving? Absolutely. All of those are elements of Christmas, but they are also elements of other times of the year. So what is uniquely the spirit of Christmas? And it's one word, and that word is anticipation. Waiting for the miraculous event to happen in your life. In Christian communities around the world, Advent refers to a four-week season of anticipating, remembering, and then celebrating the arrival of Jesus on earth. But before the arrival, before the gift comes, what happens? Well, the waiting and anticipation, of course. In the Christmas story, we can see examples of people anticipating in joyful anticipation of what God was going to do. Mary and Joseph, it was months of delighting and anticipation as Jesus grew in Mary's womb. How about Elizabeth and John the Baptist? They had a womb experience as well, right? The anticipation of Christmas began as John leaped in Elizabeth's womb upon the arrival of Jesus in Mary's womb. Now, Michael alluded to these two people. They're not somebody you're going to find on your Christmas card, but I find it a fascinating story. A couple of people that completely personify the right attitude of anticipation as they patiently wait the arrival of Jesus. In Luke's gospel, we're introduced to two characters that showed us just how to wait the right way. And it really is one of my favorite parts of the Christmas story because it's all-encompassing. It's the culmination of all that waiting and anticipation. And here we're introduced to two people. First one, Simeon and Anna are the names. They waited patiently for the Messiah. And then they were both given the miraculous gift and the miraculous privilege of being witnesses to the newborn Christ. Wow. Now, Mary and Joseph take this young Jesus to the temple to present their gift, to dedicate their firstborn to God by means of an offering. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simon. Look at this description. Who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah.
Whoa.
Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. Simeon used his time of waiting to be led by the Spirit of God, taught by the Word of God, obedient to the will of God. And he joyfully praises God for the privilege of seeing the Messiah. The gift was worth the wait. Look at the work of the Spirit in the passage regarding Simeon's story. Let's go back real quick. The Holy Spirit was on him. See that? And then you go down a line. The Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would not die before he'd seen the Messiah. And finally, he was moved by the Spirit to enter the temple and hold that Savior in his arms. Okay, I think we can say that there's probably a Holy Spirit presence in Simeon's life, right? Pretty evident. In two verses, we hear it three times. Talk about shock and awe. He knew, he was convinced that he was there for a reason. There was no question in his mind that being in lockstep with God for so many years would make the wait worthwhile. As soon as he laid eyes on this baby, he knew he was looking at our Savior. He'd been waiting patiently for a very long time, and now Simeon is experiencing the ultimate God with this moment. In fact, I would argue that as he gazed into the eyes of this brand new Messiah, the Christ for him went from being God with us to God with me. God's with me. He's in my arms. The waiting was God's gift to Simeon. Joyful anticipation filled his every day. I'd even argue that the weight was weighty. Ooh, that's funny. It was heavy. A heavy weight. Yeah. That was a stretch. Sorry. We can edit that out. The deliverance of a nation came from the delivery of a baby, right? That consolation of Israel, what that means is that was going to be, that was going to make Israel right. That was going to bring peace to them. That was going to bring a new kingdom to them. So that deliverance of a nation came from a little baby. God's timing is always perfect. Well, at the very moment Simeon was praising the Lord for the Christ child, here comes Anna. She too had an unwavering dedication to God. She recognized the significance of the moment, and she joined Simeon in praising her Lord, their Lord. She was a prophetess, and there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years. That's a nice way to say it. She was really old. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. Now, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer day and night, night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak of him to all who were waiting for what? The redemption of Jerusalem. The passage is ambiguous, just a side note here. Could mean that Anna was either 84 years old or she had been a widow for 84. So some scholars believe that she might have been 105. Regardless of what age she was, it was way beyond the life expectancy of that time. Like Simeon, Anna had planted herself in God's presence for decades, turning the grief of a young widow into a lifelong prayer. Waiting on the Lord became her daily practice. Anna, who had faithfully served God in the temple. See, the way I read this is Simeon had to make the drive into the temple every day. Anna was already there. And one of the people on the writing team joked that, boy, you would hope that the gate wasn't closed or locked when Simeon had to get in there, because it was only that one moment that Jesus was going to be there. But Anna had faithfully served God in the temple. She gave thanks to him for being able to witness what she'd been praying for decades. Remember that. Remember that. To see the Messiah. To see the redemption of Israel. Now, Simeon and Anna had a lot in common. They both spent a lifetime hanging around the temple. They both waited for something. and they both saw their longing fulfilled in Jesus. Two things stand out about these characters. First, they were both remarkable people. We see that Simon is righteous and devout. Luke assigns Anna a place among the prophets, which means, as one scholar put it, she was gifted and unafraid to declare the word of the Lord. Okay? That's pretty powerful. There's something about these two that they live in, living in this way, that welcomes the Holy Spirit's work in the waiting. They were faithful. They didn't follow a scripted timeline that laid out every event out. They trusted. They were faithful. When you do those things, God always makes His presence known. Like Michael said, we've got the benefit of seeing the story from a distance. They were waiting and waiting and waiting and praying and praying. Second observation is that they were very old. Okay, well, maybe their age doesn't seem very important, but what it does for me is it highlights the limits of their remarkableness, if that's a word. Even though they were so worthy of admiration, they couldn't lengthen their own days. Israel was waiting for deliverance, for justice, for restoration, to promise glory. Simeon and Anna, being old, represent that posture of long waiting. Through their long anticipation and watching for the Messiah, Simeon and Anna show us that Jesus comes to those who wait. The hope of the Messiah was always on their hearts, every day. Now, let's just be real. Do you suppose maybe sometimes, like us, they got maybe a little antsy during the wait? Did they ever get impatient? Maybe. But the story indicates to us that they were in this wait with God, and that brought them joy. That's what I hear. Standing in line or being stuck in traffic are examples of waiting that are day-to-day inconveniences. Realistically, you know there's an end in sight. Realistically, I said. How about the other kinds of waiting that you may be going through right now? Sure, we can give examples of these characters in the Christmas stories finding joy in the waiting, but how about real weighty life issues? Maybe you're waiting for the perfect job to present itself, or for your boss to realize that you deserve a promotion. Or you're waiting on some relationships to improve. You're waiting on a miracle, but God just seems still. Waiting is hard, especially when we live in a world that would rather be instantly gratified than to have to patiently wait for anything. How do we as Christ followers deal with the wait while we live in a world that encourages instant gratification? Waiting takes patience. Waiting takes work and control. Maybe you're in a position of waiting right now, and it feels dark. You may be confused, or maybe even feel abandoned. Waiting is often a season of longing for something to be set right. Injustice seems to reign all around you. Maybe you yourself have been the victim of the injustice. You're waiting on a certain situation in the world to make sense, or in your life to make sense. Anna and Simeon had a choice. They could have thrown in the towel, but after several years of a Messiah no-show, but they didn't. They waited, trusting and knowing that God would come through. We also have a choice, but not just in the Christmas season, but in life. You can either wait in frustration of what hasn't happened, or you can wait in anticipation that God will deliver on all of His promises. The Christmas season does nothing but remind us of promises fulfilled, of all the prophecy fulfilled, right? It's a reminder, so we shouldn't be surprised that sometimes it takes a while to have that promise be fulfilled, but He always comes through. I remind you, for those of you here for our praise giving service, we introduced a Hebrew word that we learned regarding our worship or our praise, and that word is tauda, or tauda, I don't know. But it's thanksgiving for things not yet received. Thanksgiving for things not yet received. That's a specific praise given in trust, right? In anticipation of a deliverance that has not yet been received. When we're in times of fear, or anxiety, or stress, or pain, it really is hard to express true happiness or joy. I get it. But Tauda is a praise that is willed through our spirit, reaching out and sometimes crying out to God, offering thanksgiving, often while it's still in the storms of life. It's easy to praise Him in the sunshine, hard to praise Him in the storm. Here's what the prophet Isaiah says: blessed are all those who wait for Him. God will not disappoint those who wait for Him. No one who has ever waited on God has ever been let down. You will not be the first one. You can't escape what we have to go through. But in God's great love for us, He knows the path we have to walk, and He's not going to let us walk it alone. Waiting is a way that God changes us by teaching to trust Him more. Teaching to trust Him more through the wait. The gift is in the wait, but that's only true if you're living in God-filled anticipation. That's the only way the gift is in the wait. Otherwise, it's miserable. There are two ways of living, either in the frustration of what hasn't happened or anticipation of what God is doing. Frustration in the waiting or beauty in the anticipation is your choice to make every day. Simeon and Anna made the choice. They were attentive to the Spirit. They waited with joy over what God was going to do. As a result of that faith-filled righteousness, that outlook that they had no choice but to respond to that calling in three ways. And the first one is that they worshiped and praised God. Simeon was in tune with the Holy Spirit day and night. And Anna never left the temple worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. Why would Simeon and Anna do this? They had to wait so long. Because every fiber of their being implored them to offer a sacrifice of praise, tauda. What are your eyes focused on? You can't worship in the wait if you're frustrated. You can only worship out of an abundance of awe and wonder at what God is going to do. Do you sing praises to God? I bet you a lot of you do, in the car, in the shower, wherever. Do you thank Him for all He's done for you? Next, they heard and listened to God's voice. Now, one of the ways God speaks to us is in miraculous events, right? Both Anna and Simeon were able to hear God speak in a loud voice as they held Jesus in their arms. But remember, Simeon had heard from God several years ago. When my son Rick was 10 years old, he contracted what's a disease called Stevens-Johnson syndrome. It's a rare, serious disorder of skin and mucous membranes. It starts with flu-like symptoms. It's followed by a painful rash that spreads and blisters. He had blisters everywhere. And when I say everywhere, I mean everywhere. The syndrome is a medical emergency. He spent weeks in the hospital. They cared for his wounds. They controlled his pain. He had to sleep on an air bed. They minimized the complications as the skin regrew. I would have to enter his hospital room covered from head to toe in protective gear because he was so susceptible to infection. I was terrified. There was no end in sight. I honestly didn't know if he would survive. He was in so much pain. I prayed, and I prayed, and I cried, and I cried. And then I heard from God. I heard God speak to me through a song from Les Miserables. Not even my favorite musical, but there are moments in that musical that thrill my soul. The first one is when the bishop forgives Valjean for stealing. That's my ideal. But the next one is a song called Bring Him Home. In that song, Jean Valjean is the protagonist. He prays for his prospective son-in-law who is in war. But this is where I hear God speak to me. Here's the lyrics. God on high, hear my prayer. In my need, you have always been there. He's young. He's afraid. Let him rest. Heaven blessed. Bring him home. I don't know how, but that song gave me hope. And he answered my prayer. Next thing they did is they looked forward to the coming of the Christ. Every Jew in the temple knew this promise from Isaiah. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. How many are fans of Handel's Messiah? Oh my. Don't you want to sing that? For unto us a child is born, unto us... Okay. Nobody joined me. Doesn't this promise sound amazing? Huh? Doesn't that sound amazing? The ancient Israelites lived in a time of unbearable circumstances, just war and bloodshed. It was horrible. They didn't even live in their own land because violence forced them out as refugees. They were in constant fear of violence. So since every Jew was aware of this Prince of Peace eventually showing up, how come there aren't more examples like Anna and Simeon? Do you think maybe they were defaulting to a painful endurance instead of joyful anticipation? Yeah, I'm guessing so. What are you doing while you wait? Are you painfully enduring or are you joyfully anticipating? Those don't trip off your tongue easily, but you get the point. Simeon and Anna must have experienced doubtful periods. They had to have. They were human beings. But trust and hope in the God they were waiting on paid off in a big way. Simeon and Anna look forward to the first advent of Christ, the first arrival of Christ. And in the same way, we are to look forward to the second advent. Waiting is an essential, even appointed part of your life as a Christian. We're all waiting for the second coming of Christ, for the new heaven and the new earth, for Jesus to come and make things right, and for all the sad things in our lives to become untrue. In a world that's filled with uncertainty, in a world that's filled with turmoil, we can draw strength from their steadfast trust in God. Thank you, Anna and Simeon, for being those examples. Simeon's and Anna's... In fact, that was one of your words, my one word, was steadfast. And I thought, thank you, whoever wrote that one. That's awesome. Simeon's and Anna's patient anticipation encourages me and us to stay hopeful as we await the fulfillment of God's plans. When's it ever going to happen? The people have been asking that since 34 A.D. Okay, he must be coming today. He must be coming today. You know, and they've been upset and angry. Why isn't God coming? Their devotion to God demonstrates the rewards of a life dedicated to seeking his presence. Whether you have a specific need or you have a yearning for heaven, Simeon and Anna show you that waiting doesn't mean you are doing something wrong. God sees you. He hasn't forgotten you. He will deliver you at just the right time. Remember, the gift is in the wait. Joyful anticipation is the true spirit of Christmas. We can look at that joyful anticipation as a gift, but let's face it, the gift is the gift. I didn't mean to lead you down the wrong road, but you all know what the gift is. The gift is Jesus is the gift. However, your life will be exponentially more fulfilling if you wait with hope, with awe, with wonder, and with breathless anticipation of his return. What is God going to do in my life while I wait? So let's land on this takeaway instead. Watch the wait. Watch the wait. No. We must not allow the wait to weigh us down, but we must let the trust and faith we have that God is with us to make our wait worthwhile. You are the one to make the choice. My prayer is that you follow the lead of Simeon and Anna. Trust that God is at work, though you might not know how it's going to unfold. Pray and ask God to help you well. Your waiting will turn into wonder. Your confusion will turn into clarity. The wait will be worth it. I can assure you of this. Christmas reminds us that God will come through. God's promises will come to pass. They have come to pass, and they will come to pass. Take this moment, this day, to remember. No matter what else is going on, even in whatever else is going on, our Messiah has come. Our Savior came here. He is Emmanuel, God with us in the now, and he is with us in the yet to come. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord, today I choose to anticipate your work in my life. Show me the great and mighty things that you can do. You do it every day for me, and I just need to be attentive to that. I will praise your holy name. I will praise you for things that haven't yet happened. You've been ever so faithful to me, and I know that will never stop. In the name of the baby Jesus and the resurrected Jesus, we offer you our praise. Hallelujah. Amen.